Yes, you heard right. This coming October, from the 6th to the 12th, we are taking a group of lucky listeners with us to Rome. You can be sitting in the sun of your own private courtyard inside the historic walls of a convent turned into a grand hotel. You can explore the delight of discovering an ancient site that's hidden behind a plain-looking door. You can get to know Tiffany and me personally and participate in a live taping of The Bittersweet Life, all while sipping wine in Rome's warm, perfect air while green parrots fly overhead. There is that and so much more on this trip. October 2024, the 6th through the 12th. I hope you will consider joining us. Get more info by emailing bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. And you don't just have to take my word for it. Here is a review of the trip that happened last year from one of our lucky people who came along.
The entire trip was memorable. But the most memorable part to me was the cohesion and the fact that the way that you two brought this group of people together. Everybody, by the end of the trip, everybody loved everybody. Everybody learned so much. And more importantly, everybody learned what they wanted to learn more about. So if you have an opportunity to come on this trip in the future, do it, because it's like you'll get a great overview. You'll get a great experience in Rome. And then you'll figure out all the things you want to see more of. And you can come back later and do that. I think that is the greatest thing about this thing, is just the people and the way that Katie and Tiffany have crafted a trip, and their expertise and their genuine friendliness and the knowledge that Tiffany has for as a guide is just, it's amazing. So you definitely should be coming to the trip if you can. And again, use it as a launch point for your future trips.
Welcome to Rome. This is The Bittersweet Life with Katie Sewell and Tiffany Parks. Hello, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell. Tiffany is away this week, but I am joined by a very special guest who I'm going to allow her to introduce herself to you today. How would you like to describe yourself and who you are?
I tell people that my name is Brie like the cheese and Ripley like believe it or not.
Very nice. And we have a history together. Brie and I used to work together in Seattle for a time. And of course, we've been friends since then. But the reason you're on the show today is you are quite possibly, besides myself appearing on The Bittersweet Life as a brand new expat, you are possibly the brand newest of expats that we've ever interviewed, having what, just arrived in Rome how many days ago?
It's been 7 weeks. Tomorrow is the start of week 8 of a 4-year work contract that I signed to live and work here.
And I mean, I wanted to invite you on the show, one, because I'm just curious about how it's going, but I just want to hear those first impressions, because we've talked about it on the show, but it's really hard to convey how difficult, how joyous and difficult doing such a move that you've done has been, so, or how hard it can be to move that far away and start a new job. So where should we begin? Let's start with day one when you get there. Do you have a recollection? Can you share what it was like in the first couple days that you were in Rome?
Yes, absolutely. So I get in and it's a Saturday morning. And the first thing that's at the top of my mind is I have to be at the headquarters of my work on Monday morning. And I'm jet lagged and just still getting used to just the feeling and the sounds of Rome. And I was staying in an Airbnb for about a month by the Testaccio Bridge near the Trastevere Roma train station. And it was a really cute, poorly advertised, like I got catfished on this Airbnb because they purported it to be one thing and it very much was a shoebox. But it was a shoebox that worked and it was very conveniently located, but definitely learned my lesson on understanding that a post needs to have however many meters or square meters a whole apartment is going to be before I actually say, yes, that's the perfect apartment for me.
Right. Makes sense.
So I'm in the shoebox apartment with my husband, Ryan, and our 6 suitcases. And we're just like, okay, it is 7 o'clock at night when we get here. It is, you know, when after we get to the apartment, take a nap, wake up at 7 o'clock. And we're like, okay, so let's start looking for food and like let's stock the fridge with water because we've heard all of these different things from different people. Like, are you going to drink the tap? Are you going to filter the tap? Should you just drink bottled water? We don't know yet. So we have to go buy a bunch of bottled water. First of all, the first task we did was try to find a store with water. And that was surprisingly hard.
So, Brie, you had been or had not been to Rome or Italy prior to this?
Oh my gosh, I had never been to Rome nor Italy prior to this. The only places in Europe I'd ever experienced were Iceland, Ireland, and Crete for just a second the summer before. So very limited experiences and not that much knowledge of Italy before I was on this quest to like really try out this job.
Yeah, I guess we should cover too. How did you happen to even start looking for this job? Do you have a deep desire to move abroad, or was it sort of a fluke?
Well, I think, yes, I had this deep desire to move and experience life abroad because I didn't feel like that was possible for me to do as an undergraduate. I was very much somebody who like supported myself through school, and it just felt like something that was out of reach for me. And I had this chip on my shoulder since undergraduate that like, oh, I didn't really get to have that experience. I would really love to have that experience. And so I got married over the summer, and when I was in Crete honeymooning with Ryan, we were on the beach kind of putting together the list of like things that we want to do in our first like 10 years of marriage. And at the top of the list was like live abroad for at least a year. That was something that we had in there. I wouldn't say it was like tippity top, but it was for me like a star next to it, something I wanted. And on that trip, it was just a couple of days later, I was very. You should. I really don't recommend doing this when you're on vacation, especially not your honeymoon. But I was scrolling LinkedIn for jobs. I was looking for a job, and I found the one that I have now, which is at the World Food Program.
All right. So going back to that first night, you find water, I assume, eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
And what was it like being there that first night?
It was exciting. Like, I feel like we were just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, we're fully moving here. Ryan was only going to stay with me for the first week to help me like get adjusted and then go back and handle the real move, which is like the real transition of our whole life over to Rome. And so from the moment that we got there, I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to be leaving soon and I'm going to be alone. And so I had this little bit of fear underneath all of the excitement of like, oh my gosh, what is this going to be like when my best friend and partner isn't next to me this whole time? And like, I'm 31 years old, and like, Ryan and I have been together for like 6 years. And so, like, you know, coming up was going to be the longest period of time apart that we've ever had in our 6 years being together. And we can talk a little bit more about that, what that's been like too. But yeah, so we have our water, we carried it back in our bustas, we pull it into the apartment. And now we're like, okay, water mission accomplished. Now we need pizza, of course. And so we find like a neighborhood pizza joint, and immediately they can hear us trying to order with our English sounding accents. And so they start speaking to us in English, thank goodness. They teach us that pepperoni pizza is called pizza diavola. We're just like, oh my gosh, we're so American. Of course, we want pepperoni pizza. And that's not really even a thing that's on the menu here. And then we proceed to have the best pie of our life together, which was just like that first night in Rome when you have some pizza from a place called Pepito's. It just doesn't get better than that.
So very optimistic. So how long, I mean, that is a very fast turnaround for you to have to start work to make a major move like that and also go to work. How long was Ryan staying before he was heading back to the States to shut everything down?
Just 1 week.
So he's there for a week. You're starting a job.
Yeah.
What was the first day on the job like?
I remember coming home or back to the Airbnb and Ryan being like, you seem shell-shocked. He's like, let's get you some water. First of all,
Thank God you found
here's
it.
one. Thank God we found it. Here's a giant bottle of water. Do you want little frizzy, maximum frizzy, frizzante? Like, how frizzy or sparkling do you want your water? And then I just kind of couldn't talk for a little bit because it was just so much information. And Working in the UN system is just like, it's a lot your first week, just like understanding what even anything anybody's saying actually means, because the acronyms are just intense. And then, everybody at HQ for World Food Program speaks, like, the working language is English, but everybody in the cafeteria and like other places where you go to get your coffee, it's people who are Italian working there. And so you have to know how to order in Italian, which was just, oh my gosh, there's these moments where like I desperately need caffeine or food and I'm like, I don't know how to order that. And so I very quickly had to learn a couple of words like questo, which means this, and qui, so I could be like questo qui and like point at something and say that's what I wanted. And that worked in the cafeteria, but not very well when I was ordering coffee. And so I had to learn my coffee order just by asking around and paying attention to how other people were ordering, and that became very helpful and something I use every day now, because now I'm fully addicted to caffeine, if I wasn't before, thanks to Rome's coffee culture.
Yeah, what do you make of the coffee culture? Very different than the sitting around a coffee shop all day long in the United States while you work on your computer. Not so much there.
No, that's not really a thing here. In fact, working out in public is not really a thing. Like you're supposed to do work at work and then you're supposed to go enjoy your life, which, wow, what a concept. I mean, it's still really interesting to me. I think the thing that I noticed the most was when I started going over to people, like Italian people's houses or like true Romans. Like I went to my landlord's mom's house, which is another story we can get into. I'm very close with my landlords.
Okay.
And it's like a very interesting happenstance that has also been very helpful. And so I went over to landlord's mom's house. As soon as I get there, she's like, un caffè? And I'm like, oh yeah, per favore, like for sure, please. I would love to have a coffee. And then a couple hours later, she goes, un caffè? And I'm like, okay, this is just like a thing you do for hospitality. Like you get in, you have a coffee, you have a chat. Well, in our case, I kind of can understand and like hear a little bit of what they're saying. And I only know like maybe 15 words so far. So the communication is difficult, but I'm hopped up on caffeine all the time here. And then the culture of like, as soon as you have a lunch, you have a coffee. As soon as you get into work, you have a coffee. It's really interesting. After you have like a bunch of drinks in the evening, you have a coffee. I've never experienced anything like this, and it feels very much like I'm mainlining coffee all the time.
Well, just so you know, you can say no. It's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Tiffany, who has lived there for 19 years or so now, almost 20, is not even a coffee drinker. She is
It's
only a tea
amazing.
drinker. So there you go. It can be done. I don't know if people are silently judging. They might be. Tiffany, I'll have to ask you about that sometime. But so, what was Ryan's impression of that first week since he was wandering around while you were at work?
So one of my favorite things about The Bittersweet Life is the soundscape in the beginning of the show, where you can hear what I now recognize as the siren. And that siren was the thing that Ryan was like, I don't know if I can live here for super long. Like, that is just so annoying. And I'm like, yeah, my dear, my dude, my dear, that's not gonna stop, no matter how far away you are from a hospital.
That's true.
He also noticed immediately that everybody said prego when it was time to order. And then he was like, why does everybody say pronto when they answer the phone? And so we did like some fun history digging around that, which was very cool to learn more about why people say that instead of hello when answering the phone.
Would you like to share it with us?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, when phones were invented and it was very expensive to connect a call with phone operators, they would let people know in Italy, like pronto, the line is ready. Pronto means ready. And so that meant that that was when they were being charged for the call. And it's just something that has stuck around even when we have mobile devices. And I just love that that's like stood the test of time. These phone operators that were like, pronto, your call's now being connected. Like now that's a thing that people say, even still in Italy, when they're on their iPhone ready to talk to their friend.
That's lovely. So it sounds like he had a mixed impression, perhaps a mixed feeling about the fact that you were moving here. He does have the I talked to Ryan before you guys left, and he does have the luxury of being able to keep a job that he's working remotely, but he is the person who's coming to Rome without a specific mission, which is the position I was in, which can be hard. So how was he feeling as he headed out the door back to Seattle to shut things down?
Yeah, I think he was feeling like, wow, I really can't wait to like be back and to experience this with you, because he only got like a little taste, right? Like his taste was like, there are some things that I'm noticing right away that are things that stand out to me. Like it was hard kind of to find water in the evening on a Saturday night, and I don't love the siren sounds. But he was like, wow, food here, the vegetables just look different, and the people here are really interesting, and I'm really excited to understand and get the hang of this place with you. And he comes to join me in a week from now, so I'm also very excited for that reality.
Yeah, so what has it been like? Tell us about him being gone. What has it been like to be there by yourself?
I was not expecting that first week after him leaving to be quite as just like the ground floor of the elevator as it was. I just really felt like I was in this place where I felt super safe and things were fine. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I truly am alone in a shoebox apartment in a very noisy part of Trastevere and working a very demanding job with a lot of expectations that I'm still getting the hang of. And I felt so kind of like a mixture of like scared and sad. Sad that, I mean, Ryan and I had only been married for a few months when I got this job offer. Uh-huh. So it was like, we've only been married for 6 months. So yeah. It's like month four that my like husband leaves of our marriage to go back to Seattle. And I was just like, wow, this is really weird. Like I was not anticipating this in the first year of marriage, of like being apart from him. And so the first of it was like very tearful. Every single time I would get into a cab or ride the train, it was like usually when I was in motion and in like a limbo or liminal space where I would just like feel the emotions come up, and I would like have these silent cries in the backs of cabs and on metro, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to cry right before going into work, but I inevitably would. And then I would get to work and I would just 8 hours, sometimes 10, would go by super fast, and then I'd be on the train back to just every station, tears in my eyes again, just like, oh my goodness, what have I done? You know, like I just committed myself and my husband to multiple years in a place we've never been, doing a job that is much more logistically challenging than some of the jobs I've had in the recent past. So it just kind of hit me, and I felt myself in this space of just like feeling kind of scared, feeling kind of sad. And I wasn't afraid of any one thing. It was just like this fear of like, I'm missing my best friend. We won't get this time back. Like, I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to do this right, whatever this means. It was very amorphous. So it wasn't like I was afraid of, you know, what does everybody say about Rome? Like pickpockets. Like I wasn't afraid of that or something. But it was just like this general feeling of, oh man, moroseness.
Yeah. And it sounds like it was all sort of tied up to him. It was him being gone, but also the fact that there is this big new place and you don't speak the language and you don't know the culture and you don't know where all the things are and all that. Plus learning a brand new job at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Has that kind of carried on in the whole time that he's been gone, or are you starting to feel more confident on your own?
I turned a corner in the sad, and the lack of confidence is a really good way of describing that. Like I just wasn't feeling super like I had a handle of things. And it lasted for about a month or closer to 5 weeks. I would say about 2.5 weeks ago, I rounded a corner and I felt like, okay, I know the timing for my grocery store. I've got my yoga and my Pilates instructors, you know, and I know I go to them and I have those classes and they know me and they know that I don't speak Italian. And so they're very engaged with me to make sure that I know what I'm doing so I don't hurt myself. I know the pizza people at the pizza place in Delhi underneath my building know me because I go there very frequently. And so just I have like a hang of things now, and like I have my routes that I like to go for walks on. And yeah, there's a lot of faces that like we know each other and I know their name and I say hi to them by name and they say hi to me by name. And I feel like it's more home now. And that has made so much of a difference. I'm no longer tearing up every single time I'm in motion.
That's good. That's good. So you're obviously not in the Airbnb anymore. What was finding an apartment like?
Oh boy, it was interesting. So obviously, I mean, okay, where do I start? So the two places where we found these days to look for an apartment in Rome was like Idealista and Immobiliare. Those were the websites that we used to look at listings and then start doing tours. And let me tell you, when you're trying to work regular hours at a job with a headquarters, like it's not really normal in the beginning of this job for me to have worked from home, even though now I get the privilege of doing that maybe, here and there. But in the beginning, I was just like, how the heck am I going to be able to tour all these apartments and all of these places where, I don't know how to get to them by train yet, even though Google Maps is very, very detailed and like I feel very confident that I can get someplace with just Mr. Google in my pocket. But how am I going to make time for all of this around, my demanding work schedule and needing to be available all the time? So it looked like me having to carry a hotspot with me and my computer to all of these different listings, and I would be waiting at like a leasing agent's office with like my computer being like, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna need 10 more minutes, like 10 minutos por favore, like I need to take this call, I'm so sorry. Also, nothing happens here on time. Maybe that's an overgeneralization or a stereotype, and I'm very open to be proven wrong and know that that's not everyone's consistent experience. But for me, nothing has ever started on time. So asking for some space for the tours was, something that I grew more confident doing because I would just be waiting around for so long. And I probably toured six or seven apartments before I found the one. And Ryan was helping me immensely remotely by like finding different listings and looking at them for me. And then we just set up like the different tours. And so there were three that we had like kind of a virtual tour with, and then three that I did an in-person tour for. And we found this one in the San Giovanni neighborhood that we really love. And now I moved in here and it's great because now my landlord is basically my Roman dad and he's awesome.
So how did that come about? I mean, when I lived there, my landlord didn't even live in the same country. She was over in France. And so all of our negotiations were a hybrid of Italian and French, which you can imagine
Wow.
I was completely lost in. Derek was somehow navigating it. I have no idea because he can flip between the two, but it was chaos for me. So how do you become the daughter of your landlord?
You don't get to choose your landlord dad. Your landlord dad chooses you. Yeah, it was very lucky. It's extremely like I remember when I walked into this apartment, one of the leasing agents was here to take me on the tour, introduce me to the owners. There was this brother sister pair that was showing me that was present in the place when I toured it. And then the brother was like immediately like grabbing me coffee. And I noticed in the kitchen there was like fresh flowers and like a whole tower of Chupa Chupa lollipops. And if you've been to Rome, you'll see them now. The Chupa Chupa lollipops are at like every convenience store. But there was like a whole tower of them. So like he bought the whole thing and put it in there. I was like, oh my gosh, how many people have toured this place? What am I missing? Because this seems lovely, And then I noticed that no Chupa Chupas were taken out. So I might have been the first or at least one of the first few to tour the place. So I was like, okay, there's nothing maybe overtly wrong with this place that I'm not seeing. And then I just noticed that the place was very arty. So I started one the sister could was multilingual. So she was speaking to me in English and she was like, yeah, like my brother, he's an artist, I'm an artist, like these are photos that we took at our last like gallery showing. My brother's a musician and a writer, and like I was an actress in Italian television for a little while and did some movies, and now like I do gallery stuff. I was just like, what the heck? This is so cool. I just found like the artiest brother sister duo. And I mean, like this apartment was very much just like people who like art made this place, like there's murals on the wall. It was just very nicely decorated and also oddly decorated in some ways. There were some very odd choices.
Like
And
what? Like what?
like, okay, so the kitchen is very industrial. It's not like any kitchen that I've ever had, and it's very minimalist. Like, it's not super functional. Like, if it was functional for me, there would be like an island in the middle of it and like some cutting board. Like, the island would be a cutting board. And no, it's just like, it's mostly empty kitchen with like the stainless steel collection of things across the wall where the oven is, and because they had just newly installed it. And then just like, you know, a Mercantino, a thrift store find like rack where you're supposed to put all of your like glasses, which they very thankfully got some glassware in there. And then I noticed that they were extremely thoughtful because they had stocked the pantry with beginner things, like basic things. It was like, you know, plain cookies and like rice cakes. A lot of people eat rice cakes here. And oats and just like some like really thoughtful things or just like regular, you know, staples. And I was like, oh, that's very sweet. And then the leasing agent was like, this is very unusual. Landlords don't really do that.
Yeah, like, I was going to say.
It's very strange. I'm like, okay, they seem really thoughtful and like quite lovely. Yeah, I got a really good vibe overall. And ever since then, I think I've hung out with my landlord or his sister once every other week. It's been really nice.
That is nice. That's very nice. Do you get the impression that you're the first person that they've ever rented an apartment to?
No, I get the impression that I am just this strange American girl with a weird job and they're curious about me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Obviously, you and Ryan probably have been talking in the 7 weeks or so that have gone by while he's been away.
Yeah.
What news, what dispatches is he telling you from here? Is there anything that has stood out to you?
Yeah, it's interesting because being able to make time for talking to each other with the time difference has been really hard. And I don't feel like we get the best of each other with 9 hours apart in time zone differences. So I get like dispatches from him either when it's really early in the morning my time and late at night for him, or late for me and he's just getting up and or moving about his day more fully awake. And so that difference, first of all, has made it so that like communication has been interesting, and we've had to adapt to like send each other voice notes when we're, you know, fully caffeinated and awake now that I have a major caffeine addiction. And I guess the dispatches most so have been like information about turning over the house, because we very fortunate to have a little 2-bedroom house in Seattle that we've had to like figure out who do we rent to and how do we make it rentable. And very fortunately, we were able to move my dad into one part of the house and a friend into another part of the house that are separated, so they each have their own entry and it feels good for them. So we didn't have to figure out, like, we were just dreading, like, oh my gosh, we have to get this up to this 105-year-old Seattle home up to code. Oh my gosh, for renting. That was just like a logistical kind of nightmare. And so very fortunately, it just had to be good enough for my dad and one of our best friends.
As long as they don't complain too much, they'll be fine. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They're not allowed to lodge a complaint to the city of Seattle against us.
And then Ryan comes, is he flying with, I know you're bringing your two cats to Rome with you. Would you like to share with everybody the name of your two cats since they're so unusual?
It's not as good as Ding and Dong.
Ding Dong and Marshawn.
Ding Dong and Marshawn.
Yeah, those are mine.
Ding and Marshawn Dong are yours.
That's right. They're brothers. The brothers Dong, yeah.
The brothers Dong. Yeah, we have brothers too, and they're Mark and Chainsaw. Yeah,
which I think are also amazing cat names. I asked you a lot about Chainsaw name, and was surprised and delighted to learn that Chainsaw doesn't fit his personality at all. Although,
not at all.
To have a cat that does fit that personality would be kind of alarming.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, so he's flying with them. Do they end up getting contained somewhere? Do they get quarantined? What happens to a cat when they move to Rome?
So one of my fears was just that being an absolute logistical mess. And so we learned a couple of things in this process. Like, there is a way for them to fly in the cargo hold of the plane, and that would make it so that they would have to stop over in Germany at like the Frankfurt airport and go through like a kiddie hotel situation where they like let them out during the layover and have them use the litter box, and they get like stickers on the couriers. It's like, I went to this cat hotel in Frankfurt and I'm fine and I got on my plane to Italy. And that was like a whole route that we were going to go for. But then we got kind of nervous and we were like, we would really like to hold on to Mark and Chainsaw the entire time in the route to Rome. So we got a friend, we paid for our friend's ticket to come to Rome and to be the one to be the keeper of Chainsaw on his lap and underneath the seat in front of him on the flight out. And so Ryan will have Mark in front of him and they'll be next to each other because they're a bonded pair of brothers who need each other, who just live day in, day out to snuggle and be near each other. So they will be next to each other on the plane. There's like a way we got this like special carrier situation where we can zip them together for moments so that they can have some like bonded pair time. So hopefully that works out and we don't get in trouble for that because they're definitely only supposed to be in individual characters carriers the whole time. But it's a really long time. It's 15 hours. So by the time of travel time all the way. So by the time our friend Lou and Ryan get to from Seattle to Frankfurt, they will then go to like a family bathroom and take one of those portable litter boxes and like let the cats out of their crates and like try to get them to use a portable litter box. It's just kind of a nightmare. And so they'll be on like special anxiety drugs for the route, but hopefully they'll be able to use the loo and then they'll get in back into their carriers, and then it's only like a few hour flight from Frankfurt to Rome, and then they'll get in an Uber and be here. So hopefully that goes just as easy as I've described it.
But they don't have to quarantine anywhere. They can just come straight to your home, or
Oh
are
yeah,
you?
no. They don't have to quarantine anywhere. They just have to have like the thing that we had to do was get them a cat passport. That's actually a thing. And it's not like a picture of them on a official passport that we had to get through the US government, but it was like a certificate with the fact that they have their rabies shot and they have a European compliant chip, a microchip. And that costs like $400 for each of them. So it was very much an investment, but we have to have the whole family together.
Yeah, especially if you're going to be there for 4 years. If
That's right.
I mean, of course, you had a 4-year contract. That doesn't mean that you can't decide to leave at any time. Like, you can break the contract. But from your first impression, your first 7-week impression, do you think you're going to make it the full 4 years if we were going to make a prediction right now?
I'm really going to try. I'm going to give it the best try that I possibly can because I have some early indications that I might be pretty okay at doing the job.
That's good. That's good.
Part of being able to do a job for 4 years is feeling like, yeah, I'm making a difference. I can do some things. And so I have some early signs, like a tweet I wrote for at work showed up on CNN earlier today.
Well.
I know. Thank you. People think that when you work in social media, it's just clickety clack on your little keyboard for Facebook posts. But no, things can show up on CNN and it can actually matter. So that was a big win. And honestly, something that like I'm being a little jokey, but yeah, I don't know. It made me feel like, okay, this work I'm doing here matters. This is, the world's largest humanitarian aid organization in the world. It feels really cool and lucky to be here. And I want to have the endurance to last 4 years. And so I'm going to do everything I can to endure.
Okay, and even further predictions, like what if they offer you another 4-year contract 4 years from now?
No. I'm here for the director that's in place right now. And that's the extent of my tenure. It would be. If I wanted to stay for an additional 4 years after that, I'd be in a completely different job, and I definitely couldn't say whether or not I would like or be interested in that.
Right, okay, fair enough, fair enough. Well, before I let you go, have you gotten any chance at all to explore in all this busyness of trying to find an apartment and start a job?
Yeah, I have. And it's kind of wild because the first times that I saw some of the big sites like the Colosseum and Pompeii Theater. It was just when I was in a cab lost and trying to get back to wherever I needed to be. And it just took my breath away. Just you realize, oh my gosh, I'm here in one of the most historic places in the world. And like, yeah, just there's nothing that really beats like seeing the Colosseum lit up at night, and just the way that like people are. It's just like everyone's so festive all the time. It's so fun. So yeah, and just by foot, like I've made it a point to, if I don't during the day get much exercise because I'm glued to my computer screen, it's very walkable city. It's super flat. So it's really nice to be able to like take the subway and then just walk around city center for a little bit and just take it all in. And I feel really confident and safe doing that. I also have, my tracker on my iPhone should my location become, dubious. I don't know. But I have felt very safe and very, very excited by all of the beauty around me. Just even going to the Barberini, which is the movie theater in City Center that has English movies or English language captions, or they caption it in Italian, one or the other. I took the subway and a little bit of a walk from my apartment to get there, and just the entire way I was just seeing statues and basilicas and just things that I was like, this is a insane walk to the movie theater. This is the movie. I'm living the movie right now. So it's very cinematic and surreal to be in a place that's full of so much beauty. And it's also really funny when you are going around with like a Roman who just like doesn't even look at it all anymore. They're just like, this is where I live. And I just, it makes me think of everything that I might be taking for granted in Seattle and Washington State in general. It's almost like this feeling I got because Ryan isn't from Seattle. He's from the East Coast, and he just fell in love with the city and the state. And seeing it through his eyes, through all the things that he likes to do, like hiking and going backpacking. And I was like, dang, I haven't really taken advantage of my state the way that this noob, this outsider has. And I'm kind of seeing that now in Rome in like this new way where I'm just really, my heart stops for a second at so much of the beauty and like things that I just don't understand yet and maybe never will because it's just so old and like full of so much history that all I can do is try, which is kind of my theme for being here.
All you can do is try. I love it. That's a good theme. That should be a theme for all of us for our whole lives. All you can do is try. Oh, that's
Thanks,
so good.
Katie.
I bet by a year from now you'll be like even past trying. You'll be like what? Savvy. You'll be a pro. Maybe not
Oh
a
my
pro,
gosh.
but at least like semi-pro.
I would love to be, anything ancillary or like tertiary to like semi-pro. I would just be so honored. Maybe I could write like the Breeze zine spin-off for the next Bittersweet Life walking tour Rome adventure.
Yeah, there you go.
The Through Breeze Eyes, 3-page chat book.
I think it's a great idea. If you want to put it together for our October tour this year, I will happily print it for you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm holding you to that, Katie.
I will definitely do it. All right, well, hopefully I'll see you in October when I'm there,
Of course.
with the big trip. And yeah, I think we should probably at least mentally plan to check in a year or so from now and see how it's going. And
Okay, that sounds good.
I definitely will want to hear from Ryan also. Maybe when I'm there, we can do a joint interview and hear how it's going for both of you individually on your own adventures.
I'm so curious about that. I'm so curious about his experience. It's going to be just, yeah, it's quite the time, and I'm very excited to see you and to meet Bittersweet Life listeners. That's going to be so cool.
That is going to be cool. All right. Well, I'll let you go out into the night, Bree. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Katie. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. And until next time, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell. Talk to you soon. Bye. One more little special detail about Bree's time in Rome before we're completely gone. I asked her if she was willing to tape part of the reunion with her husband Ryan when he arrived, and she did. And she sent me a lot more tape than what I'm going to play you, but I'm going to end with this little snapshot, a little time capsule for her and Ryan of their time of reunion and the first moment that they let the cats into their brand new home in Rome. Enjoy.
Okay, I am walking down the stairs to go meet Ryan and the cats.
Love you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's okay. Gracias. Gracias.
Okay. Hi, Meower.
Thanks so much.
You take home.
Have a great night.
Yeah. We're home. We're home.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Puffing up on the bag.
Oh, yeah. This has been the last
15 hours.
16 hours,
yeah.
The only assuring part is he's not actually upset. If you let him out of the bag,
yeah,
he is purring and happy and no problem.
Well, we're almost there. I've been waiting for this moment for so long.
Oh, it's cool in here. All right, boys. It's the moment of truth.
Hi, Mark. You're home. Welcome to your new home.
Oh, that was the worst.
16 hours later, you made it.
That was so hard.
Do you want me to bring you some pizza?
No.
No pizza yet? Okay.
I'll just lay down with me.
Oh. Okay, I'll lay down with you.